Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God and is designed to restore original Christianity for today and to restore the truth of the Bible, to understand the prophecies of the end time. How is this modern world described in the Bible? Because you see, the Bible is the complete book from God to His creation, mankind. And in it, it contains the words of God, the history of man, the history of God's dealing with people and nations, and also the prophecies of the end time that involve the whole world. Today, we live in a world of globalism. We live in a world that is rapidly coming to fulfill the great prophecies of the book of Revelation, and every day is another step along the way. And that will all lead to the return of Jesus Christ coming to the earth in power and glory. And it will lead to the resurrection of the saints. And it will lead to the establishing of the kingdom of God on earth. But how is man done? Man has been so deceived by Satan the devil, just as he did with Adam and Eve. And we are told today in Isaiah 25 that there is a covering and a web woven around the whole earth by Satan the devil. And one of the things that Christ is going to do when he returns is to sever that deception, get rid of the programming of Satan the devil in the minds of human beings. Now, let's go back to what Jesus said. He said there in Matthew 24, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Now, we have been reading here in Genesis 6. What was the world like before the flood? Now, we saw what happened, how men and women went their way. They developed their society, and of course they had all of the technological advancement and maybe even more than we have today. Because still some of the ancient civilizations, they have not figured out how they moved these huge stones, made them perfectly fit, built these great monuments, cut stone so finely, so squarely, so absolutely perfectly, that today, thousands of years later, if you run your thumb down the edge of one of those cut stones that have layers of squares in them cut right into the stone, that if you run your thumb along it, you can cut it. It is so sharp. Now, that was technology after the flood. What did they have before the flood? When men and women lived hundreds of years, had many, many children, hundreds of children. The population was exploding and growing exponentially, as the Bible says here in Genesis 6 and verse 1, multiplied, and also evil multiplied. And what happens when you have men and women directly under the influence of Satan the devil, going their own way, doing their own thing, rejecting God, rejecting His commandments, rejecting His way. Well, in the days of Noah, things got so terrible that there was only one man, and that man was Noah. So let's read about it. And let's take what Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man," and understand that they had high technology, great things that they were doing, but it was all based on Satanism and sin, just like the world is becoming today. Verse 5. "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, not even a good thought." And even if there were good thoughts put on a lying foundation are evil. Only evil continually. Now notice how this affected God. See, because human sin doesn't just affect human beings. It affects the environment. It affects the plants and the animals. And here it affects God. Verse 6, and the Lord repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Why? Why was it so evil that even God could not take it? And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the crawling thing and the fowl of the air, for I repent that I have made them. Why was it so bad that God made this declaration and carried it out? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were doing the same thing with transhumanism, blending animal and human genes, creating races of giants and superhumans under the inspiration of Satan the devil, having rejected all of God's way. Now notice about Noah, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did Noah find grace? Well, obviously, he loved God and kept his commandments. But notice something else. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. Now, what does it mean to be perfect in his generation? Generations here can mean genealogy. That tells us that the rest of mankind had perverted their genealogies. Tells us a little bit about it here, about how they were marrying all whom they chose. But as we look at what is happening today, we can overlay that with the experimenting with cloning, with gene splicing. How far did it go? Well, the only indication we have of how far it went is that God said he would destroy it all. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Think about that. Let's read on. Talks about his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, verse 11. Now, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Do we have that today? Yes. Exactly the same thing. War, rumors of war, killing, scientific advancement, atomic energy, space travel. Now, we don't know if they had space travel back there, but why should they not have had some kind of space travel? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So, everything that we are doing today and will be doing until the return of Christ, they were doing back here, and it got so bad that God said, I'm going to destroy it all, and it became very important that Noah's genealogy was perfect. Meaning, that he had not perverted it by experimentation. He had not perverted it by having his genealogy mixed with animal genes. That's why God chose him. And also he walked with God. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. How do you corrupt not only your way, but your being by changing your genetic makeup? Is that what men want to do today? Yes, indeed. Therefore, that's what they were doing then. And so widespread was it. And so, how shall we say, pervasive that it was, that God had to destroy all animal and plant and human life. Let's read on. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, we also know that God sent the fowl of the air, the beast, and the crawling things to Noah to put in the ark. Now, why did God have to send those animals to Noah? We find no account that Noah had to go out and round him up. God sent them to him. Why? Because these were the animals that had not been corrupted through genetic crossbreeding. Now think of that. Otherwise, he could have just taken whatever animals were handy. And he told him what kind to take. And there were the clean and the unclean even then. So the law of clean and unclean was known way before the time of Israel. Here's what God did. Gave him the instructions on how to build the ark. Now, some people think he was 120 years in building the ark because God limited human life to 120 years. Nonsense. You can't take 120-year-old wood and make a waterproof ark. Now, since we have a lot of high technology today, then we can conclude they had high technology then. We have power tools for building and making things today. We can conclude they had it then. So how long did it take Noah and his sons to build the ark? We don't know. But it certainly could not have taken more than 2 or 3 years to do it. That's the only way you could have made that ark waterproof and safe to go through the flood. And God told him to build it. It was 450 cubits long, 60 cubits high, 60 cubits wide, and there were 3 stories, be enough room for all the animals. And so then God, because of one man, spared all of mankind. God sent all the animals. They all went into the ark. God sealed up the ark. And for another 7 days, they were in the ark and no rain. Can you imagine all of the jeering mobs that gathered around there? Hey, Noah and all the animals are in the ark. Said there's going to be a flood. Said it's going to rain. Look, it's dry as a bone. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and day 7. And then it started raining. Now, as I read this, I want you to think about the recent disaster in Japan where they had the tsunami wave. There isn't any stopping that tsunami wave. The force of the water from the ocean with waves 40, 50, 60 feet high coming in just wiped everything out of its path. Yes, there was a flood, a world-wide flood, not just in some area, as the intellectual elite of this world say, but the Bible says that it covered the mountains by 15 cubits. Now that is 22 and a half feet minimum. Let's see what happened. Verse 10, Genesis 7. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood came upon the earth. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on this day, all the fountains of the deep were broken up. Great earthquakes took place. The ocean bottoms were lifted up. And the mountains came down. Then in addition to that, notice what happened. And the windows of heaven were opened. Just water, rain. And it covered the earth. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Not just little drippy-droppy rain. Huge, torrential rains. Genesis 7 and verse 17. And the flood was upon the earth 40 days, and waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Now, where they show where they think the ark landed, that's not where it landed. It landed in the mountains of Ararat, probably at a saddle between two mountains. You don't get something that big and have it all of a sudden just plop on top of a mountain. You see, because those who do the things like that, like they have on the History Channel and so forth, these are by agnostic and atheistic men who don't believe the Bible. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the heaven were covered, and waters prevailed 15 cubits upwards, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh that moved upon the face of the earth died, of birds, of livestock, of animals, of every crawling thing that crawls upon the earth, and every man, and all who had the breath of life, and all that was upon the dry land died. Now, think about how powerful that was. Think about how mankind came to such a multiplicity of evil that's just beyond our comprehension that God would do this. Now, we can cover a little bit about the rest of the story later. But then God saved all of mankind, so all of us are here because of the obedience of Noah. All of us have an opportunity now to understand the way of God. And living in this last generation, God has revealed his purpose and his plan. Now, we also need to understand that right after the flood, as we saw in Genesis 11, that the sons of Noah were back doing the same thing, all except Shem. Genesis 8 and verse 15, "And God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wives and your sons' wives, and bring out with you every living thing that is with you, of all flesh, of fowl and of livestock, and every crawling thing that crawls upon the earth, so that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. And Noah went out, and his sons and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every fowl, every crawling thing, all that crawls upon the earth after their families went forth of the ark. And Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings upon the altar, a thanksgiving offering to God, thanking God for the safety and protection and watching over them. And now the earth was ready for a brand new start. And how would man do? He had an opportunity, you see, but because, unless there is a change of heart by conversion, men cannot overcome the law of sin and death. And that's what this transhumanism is all about, today and back then before the flood. Now, let's see how God responded to that. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, I will not again smite every living thing as I have done. While the earth remained, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And so that's the history of men trying to become God themselves. And what the problem is that Satan has came along and said, if you go my way, you will be like God. But little did they realize that the unspoken thing that Satan didn't tell them was, you will become evil like me. No, he said, you will become like God. Now you see, that's a counterfeit of the true plan of God. And the rest of the Bible tells us about God's unfolding plan with mankind from that time down to this very day. So God, chapter 9 and verse 1, blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every bird of the air, and all that moves on the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. And every living thing that lives shall be food for you, even as the green herb I have given you all things. Now, that means, because there was the clean and the unclean, that means that just like you can't eat of certain plants, you can't eat of certain animals. Then he also did this. Before the flood, God would administer justice himself. But after the flood, now the Garden of Eden was destroyed. And so God no longer lived on the earth as he did before the flood. Now, he lives in heaven. And so he gave to man the administration of death right here. That they were to make the judgment if the blood of any man was to be shed. And then he made the covenant to show that he would never again bring the flood, and he put the rainbow in the heavens. So when he would look upon the rainbow and men would look upon the rainbow, they would know that God would never again bring a flood like he did during the days of Noah. But the return of Jesus Christ is going to be almost as destructive because of Satan the devil and the demons, because of men and their wars, because of the transhumanism that men are trying to do now. How far this will develop as we go down in time before the return of Christ? Will we see armies of transhumans? Will we see soldiers that will be almost impervious to being wounded? What is it that we are going to see? Well, time will only tell, but you need to remember this. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And that's where transhumanism fits in today. So I hope that this series has been helpful for you to understand what transhumanism is about, that it's not the first time that it's happened, but now it's just a repeat of what happened before the flood. How far it will go, how perverse men will become, only time will tell. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Now be sure and order our book, Lord, What Should I Do? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.